May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There was a podcast recently which said that being born is like being put into the middle of a stage play without the script. We don't know what lies ahead of us, who will come into our life, which places life will take us to. There are times when it really feels as though our life is going according to the script. Everything goes to plan. And then, of course, there are times when it doesn't. For the children at Great Ormond Street Hospital for Children, or GOSH as it's often known, life hasn't gone according to any script that they would have written for themselves, or that their parents would have wanted for them. I'm going to share this morning some of my experiences of chaplaincy at GOSH, where I volunteer on a Monday. As part of our Lent series, we're hearing from chaplains who work in a variety of different settings with the aim of learning how we share our faith and speak of God in our day-to-day lives. Now, as the preaching rota would have it, I've found myself preaching this morning with Dorothy Moore Brooks, the lead chaplain and head of spiritual care at GOSH, the preacher this evening, so my very senior colleague. Dorothy has well over 18 years' experience, if not more, of chaplaincy. I still have my learner plates on with about 18 months' experience. I think this is what it means to be the warm-up act. I'm aware that what I say may resonate for some people on a personal level, and indeed, some of you may have had children or grandchildren who have been patients at GOSH. If that is the case and it would be helpful, then please do speak to me after the service. As a chaplaincy team at GOSH, it feels as though we're invited by a family to be a part of their script, and that is a huge privilege. I've been asked a few times what it is that I actually do when I'm there, and so I thought I'd tell you a little bit about what a Monday looks like for me, a kind of day in the life of. As a chaplaincy team, we begin the day with a team meeting to check in with each other and as an opportunity to think about those families who may need particular support that day. We then have a time of prayer in the hospital chapel, St. Christopher's. We root our day in God, taking the opportunity to pray for patients, families, staff, and volunteers. And then most of the rest of my day is spent going around the wards, trying to speak to staff if they're not too busy, because chaplaincy is there for them too. But mainly speaking to patients and their families. Some of them I've got to know quite well if they've been long-term patients. Others I'll be meeting for the first time. When I knock on a patient's door, to be honest, I don't know what sort of reception I'll get. Where are the family on that particular day? What news have they received or are they waiting for? Whether they've had little sleep and are feeling exhausted, or indeed if they're feeling upbeat because they've had good news. A chaplaincy visit may or may not be welcome. And you have to do your best to read the room to try and get a feel for where the family are that day. In every visit, you try and find a connection point. With one child I visited on a very regular basis, we'd often talk about trains because he loved trains. And so I used to tell him about my journey in on the train and the tube. And I shared with him that my grandfather was a train driver. In another very difficult conversation with a parent, our connection point was that we were both parents to twins. As small as these things may sound, they bring in that common humanity, those little things that reach across and enable you to find common ground. At the end of the day, we regather as a chaplaincy team and spend time reflecting on what's happened. It's a really important part of our day as we seek to support each other, especially if there is something difficult that we have seen or heard. And as you can imagine, that's not unusual in a place like Gosh. And then I go home, more often than not, thinking about the families that I've met. Some things I see or hear are so very sad that I can't make sense of them. But I have to trust that God is at work, even when I can't completely understand it. I remind myself that Jesus had a very special place in his heart for children. He encouraged them to come to him. He welcomed them. He blessed them. As I go home, I also reflect on how much I'm learning from the children that I meet, not least what courage and resilience looks like in the face of challenging and often life-limiting circumstances. So as I go about my Monday at Gosh, how do I speak of God? Well, I'll admit it can be challenging. I've come to an understanding that, as a starting point at least, I can speak of God by meeting people where they are, whether they describe themselves as people who have no faith, whether their faith is the anchor that keeps them going, or whether they are clinging to their faith by their fingertips. There are two particular things that I'm learning that help with this. The first is chaplaincy is a ministry of presence. In other words, you seek to be alongside people. You create the space for them to be able to tell their story. And of course, you try to do this with humility. As a hospital chaplain, you're not a doctor. You can't cure, you can't take away pain, but you can be present. You can offer to sit, to chat, and to listen well. You can't do this, though, if you go in with your own agenda. And so I'm learning to go into each patient's room with empty hands, and that can have a quite literal meaning. I remember one child that I used to visit on a regular basis was very suspicious of anyone who came into her room because she assumed that any knock on her door would indicate another medical procedure. And so she was very wary. And so whenever I went in, I used to have to put my hands up like this and say to her, "Look, it's okay. I have nothing in my hands. I've just come to say hello." Empty hands can also mean that you don't make assumptions about what the family might need. You seek as best as you can to be a non-judgmental, non-anxious listening presence that offers, even if it's just for a few moments, some respite from their difficult reality. Sometimes speaking of God is easier because for some patients and their families, prayer is important. When I pray with them, I always ask what's important for them to pray about on that particular day. I don't assume. A good example of this is that there is one long-term patient who I visit who doesn't ask for healing in prayer. She simply asks to be able to go home. In another case, a mum wanted prayers that something positive might come out of her child's suffering, that all the pain experienced was for a reason. These prayer times can be precious, and I know that I'll remember some of them for a very long time. The second thing that I found helpful in meeting people where they are is that speaking of God sometimes involves not using words, as strange as that may sound. There are times when there are simply no words that will speak into the pain or the hurt in front of me. During Lent, we think about Jesus in the wilderness, and for some Gosh families, their daily reality is a wilderness where they feel lost, vulnerable, and afraid. When faced with a difficult situation, not saying something can feel awkward to us. And so the temptation is to say something, because surely saying something is better than saying nothing at all. There is, of course, a time for words, but there are also times when words cease to be enough. They can be clumsy or just seem empty. In those times, to allow space for God, we have to not talk about God. We have to be prepared to hold back from offering cheap words. Instead, we have to let our actions speak of God for us. Simply being willing to sit alongside someone in their desolate place can be a case of action speaking of God louder than words. It tells that person, I'm not afraid or unwilling to be with you in this difficult space. You're not alone. Dorothy once said to me that Gosh is a place of great hope, but also great sorrow, and it's very true. It's a place where life is revealed as fragile, all more pointed because the patients are children. Life is fragile, and therefore so very precious. And it's a place where God does reveal himself. Perhaps not in obvious ways or in ways we might expect, but God is there, not least in the smiles and curiosity of the children and in the love and closeness of families that I meet. Speaking of God in such a context isn't always easy, but we can find it hard to speak of God wherever we are. The two things that I've mentioned, being present for people and being willing to hold back on using words, are not limited to a hospital chaplaincy context. I think they're relevant for us as we live out our day-to-day lives as Christians. So perhaps as we continue to journey through Lent, we might spend some time reflecting on who around us might need us to play a part in the script of their life, to be present with them, to sit with them, not offering them words necessarily, but simply our willingness to enter their wilderness with them. Let's pray that God would reveal those people and those places to us. Amen.